she got to Eberly and Morgenthau, the faster she trotted. As she approached, she wondered why Malcolm had chosen to be with Morgenthau. "She's not much to look at," Holly giggled to herself. "Really, she's too much to look at. And all decked out like she's going to some wild-ass party. She'd be pretty if she dropped 20, 30 kilos." Eberly looked up and recognized her. "Malcolm!" Holly called, slowing to a walk. "Come on, the ceremonies have started already. You're going to miss it all."
"Then I'll miss it," Eberly said severely. "I have work to do. I can't waste my time on ceremonies."
He walked right past her, with the Morgenthau woman slogging along beside him. Holly stood there with her mouth hanging open, fighting desperately to keep from crying.
Breakout. Hardly anyone aboard Goddard knew about the bridge. Actually, the Massive Habitat's navigation and control center was in a compact pod mounted on the outside skin of the huge cylinder like a blister on a slowly rotating log. Captain Nicholson's title was an honorific. She had skippered spacecraft out to the asteroid belt and had once even commanded a trio of ships on a resupply mission for the scientific bases on Mars. Of the four-person crew that ran the navigation and control center, Nicholson, her first mate, and her navigator intended to return to Earth as soon as they had established Goddard in orbit at Saturn. Only the systems engineer, Ilya Timoshenko, had signed on for the mission's full duration. In fact, Timoshenko never expected to see Earth again. Samantha Nicholson did not look like a veteran spacecraft commander. She was a petite woman who had allowed her hair to go silvery white. The descendant of a long line of shipping magnates, she was the first of her family to heed the call of space rather than the sea. Her father disowned her for her stubborn, independent choice. Her mother cried bitterly the first time she left Earth. Nicholson consoled her mother and told her father she neither needed nor wanted the family fortune. She never returned to Earth, but made Selene her home instead.
Timoshenko admired the captain. She was capable, intelligent, even-handed whenever a dispute arose, and when necessary she could peel 4 layers of skin off a man with language that would have made her mother faint. X-minus 30 seconds, said the computer's synthesized voice. Timoshenko eyed his console. Every single icon was in the green. "Ignite the thrusters on my mark," said Captain Nicholson. "Roger," the first mate replied. Normally, Timoshenko would have sneered at her insistence on human control. The four of them knew perfectly well that the computers actually ran the propulsion system. This lumbering, oversized sewer pipe would be pushed out of lunar orbit at precisely the right instant, even if none of them were on the bridge. But the captain kept the old traditions. And even Timoshenko, normally as dour and scornful as a haughty, patronizing academic, respected the old lady for it. The computer said, "Ignition in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2. "Fire thrusters," the captain said. Timoshenko grinned as his console showed the computer command and the human action taking place at the same instant. The thrusters fired. Goddard broke out of lunar orbit and began its long flight path to the planet Saturn. Even with the Duncan Drive fusion engines, an object as massive as the Goddard Habitat does not flit through the solar system the way passenger carriers or even automated ore haulers do. Part of the problem is sheer mass. At more than 100,000 tons, the Habitat is equal to a whole fleet of interplanetary ships. To push the Habitat to an acceleration of even 1/10 G would require enormous thrust and therefore a bankrupting amount of fusion fuel. Yet the major problem is the spin-induced gravity inside the Habitat. A major acceleration from rocket thrust would turn the world inside the cylinder topsy-turvy. Instead of feeling a gentle Earth-like pull downward, the inhabitants would also sense an acceleration pushing them in the direction of the rocket thrust. Life within the habitat would become difficult, even weird. It would feel to the inhabitants as if they were constantly struggling uphill or traipsing downhill, even when walking on normal-looking flat ground. So Goddard accelerated away from the moon at a leisurely pace, a minute fraction of a G. The force went unnoticed by the 10,000 inhabitants, although it was closely monitored by the habitat's small crew of propulsion engineers. It would take 14 months to reach the vicinity of Jupiter, giant of the solar system. There, Goddard would replenish its fusion fuels, isotopes of hydrogen and helium delved from Jupiter's deep, turbulent atmosphere by automated skimmers operated from the space station in orbit around the enormous planet. Jupiter's massive gravity would also impart a slight extra boost to the habitat as it swung past. 11 months after the Jupiter encounter, Goddard would slip into orbit around ringed Saturn. By then, more than 2 years after departing the Earth-Moon vicinity, anthropologist James Wilmot expected the subjects of his experiment would be ready to form the political systems and personal bonds of a new society. He wondered what form that society would take. Malcolm Eberly already knew. Departure plus 3 days. The great advantage of having a scientist in charge of the habitat, thought Malcolm Eberly, is that scientists are so trustingly naive. They depend on honesty in their work, which leads them to behave honestly even outside their sphere of expertise. In turn, this makes them believe that those they associate with are honest as well. Eberly laughed aloud as he reviewed his plans for the day. It's time to start things in motion. Now that we're on our way, it's time to start these people looking to me as their natural leader. And who better to begin with than Holly, he thought. My newborn. She had been sulky, pouting, since he had been so curt with her at the breakout ceremony. He saw that his morning's messages included one from her. She had called him twice yesterday as well. Ah, well, he told himself. Time to make her smile again. He told the phone to locate her. The holographic image that appeared above his desktop showed that she was in her office, working. As soon as she recognized Eberly's face, her expression lit up with hope, expectation. Holly, if you have a moment, could you come to my office, please? He asked pleasantly. She said, I'll be there FTL. FTL? Eberly wondered as her image blinked out. What could... Ah, faster than light, one of her little bits of slang. He heard her tap on his door, light and timid. Let her wait, he said to himself, just long enough to make her worry a bit. He sensed her fidgeting uncertainly outside his door. When at last she tapped again, he called, Enter. Holly wasn't pouting as she stepped into Eberly's office. Instead, she looked apprehensive, almost afraid. Eberly got to his feet and gestured to the chair in front of his desk. Sit down, Holly, please. She perched on the chair like a little bird, ready to take flight at the slightest danger. Eberly sat down and said nothing for a few moments, studying her. Holly was wearing a forest green tunic over form-fitting tights of a slightly lighter green. No rings or other jewelry except for the studs in her earlobes. Diamonds, he saw. Since the asteroidal belt had been opened to mining, gemstones were becoming commonplace. At least she's taken off that silly decal on her forehead, Eberly noted. She's rather attractive, really, he thought. Some men find dark skin exotic. Not much of a figure, but she's got good long legs. Should I find someone to get her involved romantically? No, he concluded. I want her attention focused on me for now. He made a slow smile for her. I hurt you, didn't I? Holly's eyes went wide with surprise. I didn't mean to. Sometimes I become so wrapped up in my work that I forget that people around me have feelings. With a sigh, he continued, I'm truly sorry. It was thoughtless of me. Her expression bloomed like a flower in the sunshine. I shouldn't be such a pup, Malcolm. I just couldn't help it. I wanted to be beside